Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
So says Joe Fortunato. And we're happy to have you with us this evening for Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. From Everbank Field, Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Lagerman.
And somebody that smells rather good. Did you just take a shower?
I just put on some cologne, Jeff.
Oh, what are you trying to hide, the stink?
Yeah, wow. I actually washed the stink off and then put on cologne.
Was it your own cologne or was it someone else's?
It's that stuff, it's like Brute that you buy at like Rite Aid or Revco or one of those. You know, they have their own brand.
Yeah,
you know, right. There's Old Spice and then there's Old Goat.
You got
this
the,
is
old,
the
goat
old goat
on.
Yeah. It's a lot cheaper.
So tell the listeners why you have the Old Goat on.
Jeff, I want to tell you, this afternoon I went to practice and it was horrible.
Didn't practice very well?
No, I didn't practice very well. We agreed it was the hottest day in Jaguars history. The longtime practice watcher such as myself and Dan Edwards, Jaguars Director of Communications, both of whom were there at Stevens Point with you and Brian on the 160-degree day. And that 160-degree day was a day you would have needed a coat compared to today. I don't know what it was, and I don't want to know what the temperatures were. All I know is it's the most awful day in the history of the world.
And the first serious practice in the middle of the day for this football team.
They went after it today. Coach Del Rio said, as promised. So apparently he told him, I'm going to whip your butt today.
He told him last night in his team meeting.
He did?
Be prepared. Not only am I going to run you through the paces in practice, but after practice, we're
going to run. Conditioning.
And they did.
They had an extensive pass rush drill today. Went on for a long time. There was just one problem. Nobody rushed the passer. It was a very, very good pass blocking drill. That's my greatest concern coming out of this training camp is with Aaron Kampman and Tyson Alualu on the sideline, so to speak. I don't know where the pass rushers are because Derek Harvey has gone to sleep.
He had a pretty decent practice last night, I thought. He had a good practice last night.
I'll take your word for it. I wasn't there.
Had a good pass rush drill in particular.
Okay.
Well, at lunchtime, we taped Jack Del Rio's television show that's going to air on Saturday night, and he went out of his way to say Derek Harvey was great the first week, disappeared last week, and appears to have reemerged based on the practice they held.
Well, then we'll blame it on the sun today because he went away, as they all did. That's my most grave all of my concerns. Well, what the heck? I said this on your TV show the other night. My concern is on defense. The Eagles went up and down the field with too much ease. I didn't see a pass rush. Hey, if Vic doesn't come out of the pocket and run right into Harvey, there's no sack. I think Jack Del Rio was, in fact, I know he was honked off big time at his defense.
You could tell by Sunday evening's practice, which was their first practice that they had back after the Philly game, and they were worked.
Yeah. I think this team has a chance. When I say a chance, I think they have a chance to be something more than 7-9. I think this team has a chance, but it's all going to be determined by what they do on defense, because there's no doubt in my mind they're going to be pretty good on offense. I mean, they got a lot of pieces in place. They got the bookend tackles. They've got an emerging wide receiver core. They've got the star running back. They've got a running back who looks like he's going to be a good pass receiver out of the backfield, Rashad Jennings.
Are they going to have their star young tight end? Is he going to be able to stay on the field this
year? Well, Mercedes Lewis is a star young tight end.
He's as good as it gets, but you'd like to have
Zach Miller.
Yeah.
And he's
like
going to the doctor tomorrow or today.
Don't know.
I smell something bad there. That thing lingered all the way through OTAs. Now we're into training camp, and it's back again. And that one has a bad smell to it. I just have a bad feeling about that. So that hurts a lot. And, of course, the guy I haven't mentioned is David Garrard, and nobody believes in him, but I do. I believe the Jaguars have a competent quarterback, and I believe he'll play a lot better than he did on Friday. He only played a quarter.
Well, yeah, you know, he played. You haven't been on the radio to have a chance to talk about it, but I mean, no. They really scaled back what they were going to do without two offensive tackles.
Well, I mean, but still, he had a couple throws that he could have had. He could have been better. Right. You know, and a lot was pointed out. Well, he didn't have his tackles. Well, the guys that played tackle did pretty good.
He got hit real hard in the one though.
The one that he got hit and it kind of made the ball. Kind of travel awkwardly.
Should have been caught.
Yeah, that's one. But overall, his protection was pretty good. You know, Jordan Black and Paul McQuiston, they did okay.
I agree.
You know, and that was where my biggest concern was going into that game. And I was telling you guys that, hey, look, you know, Philadelphia, they've got them little guys over there that rush the passer pretty well. But David wasn't under a firestorm, nor was Luke McCown. So, you know, credit the offensive line. They didn't run the ball very well.
Right.
But they protected pretty well.
To finish my thought, though, it's on defense, because certainly special teams look like they're going to be killers. It's on defense where all the concerns are. I mean, at this point, with Campman and Alualu out, and you know, the first two draft picks are gone, both defensive tackles.
Anthony Smith.
I mean, what's to like? You know, GM Gene keeps adding linebackers as though they've got the worst linebackers in the league. I mean, they just keep bringing in linebackers, so that's a bad
Well, they
signal.
Added one this week.
Yeah, Wilson. I don't even know who he is.
From Tampa.
And they added a couple last week, and they got the thing going on at safety. Looks like they've uncovered some depth and quality at cornerback, although, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Lem Barney stuff, but, I mean, it looks like they've got some guys there. But, I mean, what's the like on defense, and that's my concern. What's the like?
Well,
pot roast is
the pot roast.
Well, I'll throw a couple positives out there.
Okay,
Terrence looks fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Even though he may be a little overweight, which he's working on that. From what I understand, he's down even more.
Good.
And I expected that from him because I think he's got it going on upstairs. I think he's a smart guy. So he's looks good. Tyson Alualu, when he was on the field, the guy is a beast. Okay. He'll get back. I'm not ready to panic, okay? He'll get back. But, yeah, you'd like to have him back out here getting these valuable reps, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Hart, I thought, did some good things.
Yes, I'm okay with him.
Larry Hart was going against a Pro Bowl left tackle in Jason Peters, and he had Larry Peters on skates a couple times. He just didn't make the play. That was a positive.
I agree.
I wasn't happy with Derek Harvey's performance. I thought the linebackers were out of sync. But then again, there's no Daryl Smith.
That's right.
Russell Allen's been having to play multiple positions. I think that will come together. It's preseason.
They didn't hit anybody. They didn't hit anybody. I want my linebackers to hit.
Well, you got to be in position to hit, and they were out of position a few times. So I'm not ready to, you know, to say, the defense is, you know, they're not going to get it together. Give them time. This defense has been completely revamped. Things don't happen overnight.
Oh, and there's no, I completely
agree with
you.
This defense needs the preseason.
But if we're going to put all this heat on the quarterback, then shouldn't we be able to put it on the defense,
too? One thing that I want to say, and I mentioned this Monday night on Jaguars All Access, you got to stop the run before you can rush the passer.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, that was my concern coming out of Philly was that, you know, Philadelphia, which – you know, I don't think they're all that concerned about running the ball.
Below average rushing team.
Yeah, you know, they ended up with 200, and I know Michael Vick added to that.
Well, McCoy tattooed him on a couple runs.
Who?
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, he did. No. I know. I'm not saying that it was just all Michael Vick, because it wasn't. But, I mean, my concern is you got to stop the run before you rush the passer. This defense, it just needs time. It needs time.
I hope you're right, Jeff.
In preseason, and it's going to need a little time in the future.
Real quick, is there any fire to go with the smoke about Lije Dusable?
He's the best pass rusher right now. With Alualu, I think Jack Del Rio said it today, with Alualu and Aaron Campman out, Lije Dusable has been...
That French, Joe?
Dusable.
You know, Ledger Dusable has been their best.
Lije Dusable.
Oh, this is the guy that used to go to
I know
to
you
Orange
only have
Park
to write it,
Orange
but
Park.
You do have to say Lije Dusable.
That's his name. and he must be a good guy because he came from he was cut from where?
He was with the Giants, the Rams, and the Vikings the last 2 years.
You know, he and he looks like Joe Green here.
He looks good. He does.
6'4", 285 pounds.
And you know, here may be a guy, and I don't know. I mean, we got to see this guy more than just one preseason game and a few practices because that's virtually what we saw. But this guy appears to be a perfect fit for the style of defense that they're going to play here, and that's up the field. He's a 305-pound defensive tackle. He clearly has shown, you know, not considering Campman and Aluwalu, he clearly looks like the best pass-rushing defensive tackle that they have. They may have a good find on this.
Wait a minute. Stop. We got to check ourselves. I mean, this guy's been cut by everybody but the Sharks. Okay? If we're now building him up.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is this not a problem?
No.
That was the smoke and fire.
That's why I said we've only seen one game. Let's see more. But Vic, when the guy gives fits to Justin Smiley and Uche Nwaneri, okay, and Vince, the guy's got something.
But what? What, Jeff? What does he have? Because nobody else has seen
him.
Wait a minute, Vic. Cameron Wake had to go to the Canadian Football League to earn a starting job.
You're right.
What was the defensive tackle that spent time in NFL Europe, for God's sakes?
Oh, the nose tackle.
For New Orleans Saints,
Rams,
Leroy Glover.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's not possible.
You're right.
You know, don't
Tom
hold
Brady's
the guy. Don't hold it against the guy that he went with a couple teams and didn't stick. You never know.
I'm just afraid we've reached the point of such unbelievable desperation.
I started thinking the same thing. I said, you know, am I saying that this guy looks that good because that's a statement about how the other ones look? Uh-huh. Or am I saying that guy looks good because he looks good?
And we'll leave it on that. We got to take a break.
We'll see.
More to come. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, rolling along 2 hours this evening, folks, till straight up 8 o'clock Eastern time right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you'll get $2 in Jag bucks back. For details, check out Jaguars.com. Sexton, Logan, and Catchman Fortunato. You can join us, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351 on the radio program this evening. What other tidbits do you want to chew on here?
Okay, we did kind of the camp-ending press conference. Well, not like. We did the camp-ending press conference with Jack Del Rio. I said like because it has a special flavor to it. This has been going on for all the years that I've done this. You sit down with the coach at the end of training camp, and it's almost as, okay, well, what are you taking with you as you leave camp? Well, in the old days, you actually were leaving a camp. You know, now it's different. You're going to be speaking at the same podium tomorrow, and it's just that instead of doing two practices, you're going to do one. But in the old days, you actually packed up your suitcases and left the college, and there was a kind of closure and a kind of foreboding feeling to the whole process, and it was a big deal. This was a big deal kind of press conference, and you asked the question. So as they leave such and such college, as they leave Stevens Point in 1995, what are they taking with them? And Jack knows the routine, and so he offered some assessments, some evaluations on everything, and he talked about how Rashad Jennings was one of the hits of this training camp, and he talked about how Tyson Alualu's injury is one of the disappointments of this training camp, and how, you know, he's young and needs to work, and not working stunts your growth, et cetera. He talked about Aaron Campman's sprained ankle of Sunday night being a minor setback, nothing major there. That's in his words. Safety remains the number one position battle area. Still looking for two guys to emerge. That's it.
By the way, is safety a position that seems lacking in the NFL, because in doing research on the Dolphins, they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Who are their safeties? I mean, is it, has the position changed so much with guys, smaller guys playing linebacker now,
well,
that you don't have enough safeties?
I think everybody wants to have that Polamalu, that Ed Reed, and if they don't, they're searching.
The standard has been raised.
Yeah, it really has. Mm-hmm. It really has, because the game has changed, and therefore the safety position has changed.
See, it used to be the last line of defense. Now it's a playmaker position.
That's right. Yeah, so do you have a playmaker there? Not of that caliber, but, I mean, you got guys that can make plays. I mean, you know, I think Gerald Alexander is a very, very smart player.
He made a few plays last year.
Yeah, he can make plays. You know, Considine can make plays. They all can make plays. You know, but I think what he's talking about is he wants two guys to say, it's my job, and it's clear. And there really hasn't been two guys yet that have done that. I mean, it's kind of, they're all right in here, you know. He wants somebody to separate, you know. And to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to get anybody to truly separate. You know, I think this is going to be a position that could change during the season at any given week.
I know you watched the tape. So how did Tyrone Brackenridge play at that position?
Did okay.
Do you have any potential there?
Sure. Well, his potential lies in the fact that he can play corner and he can play safety.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of keep that in mind when we're looking at who's going to make it.
Reggie Nelson's got a problem there.
I was just about to ask you if he is a candidate to be gone, because he has not been able to lift himself up.
Well, you saw, I mean, they put Tyrone Brackenridge in the game with him. So, I mean, clearly he is competing with Tyrone Brackenridge for a roster spot. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And in fact, I mean, I hope I don't anger the GM for saying this, but when I said that the other night, let's put it this way, he didn't argue with me.
It is what it is. You
got
guys that have positional flexibility, whatever you want to call that, you know, an offensive line that can play center, guard, and tackle, like a Jordan Black. You know, a guy on the defensive line, like Jeremy Navarre, that can play end and defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Hey, those guys kind of have a little extra edge.
More things you can do.
The more you can do. And I learned that a long time ago from the old equipment guy mm-hmm. for the New York Jets. And that came, as far as he was concerned, it meant, hey, come fold some towels with us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's put some socks together.
Chuck used to say it all the time.
The more you can do, baby. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
Is Michael Coe one of those guys?
Oh, he's a depth guy.
I know you wrote the story about him on Jaguars.com.
No, Ryan did.
Okay, Ryan.
Ryan did. Ryan Robinson wrote that story, and Michael Coe is a guy who has emerged in this camp. Scotty Starks is back to being Scotty Starks, and Don Carey has emerged in this camp. And, you know, Derek Cox hasn't had a great camp.
Hasn't
had a bad camp. But the thing I like about Derek Cox is he has fought through a soft tissue injury through this entire training camp that he has not divulged to anyone, but he hasn't missed a practice. And, see, that counts a lot for me, because you have to learn, in my opinion, you have to learn in training camp how to play with injuries, because you will be injured during the season.
All right, folks, we've got 90 more minutes of this program. We'll cover the gamut with the Jaguars, who broke camp today. Look forward to Saturday night, Jaguars at Everbank Field against the Dolphins, and we'll talk with you. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. And don't forget, when the Jaguars win, well, you and Joe Fortunato win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Mondays or Tuesdays.
You win too, baby.
Jaguars win at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants.
Brian,
back after this,
Brian, you win.
On News Talk Radio. Are you supposed to be talking when I am?
You win, Brian.
WOKV. And
to talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. On News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back, Brian, Jeff, Vic, Joe, you, 355-NFL1. Jaguars break camp today. Preseason game number 2 comes up Saturday. We start things off here on News Talk Radio at 4:30 with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Then at 6:30, we pick up Jaguars pregame, followed by the game, and then the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show, all right here ahead on Saturday night. You have a thought?
Yeah, how about Andy Rooney? Monday night.
Yeah, nice. You're Andy Rooney.
Folks, if you haven't seen it, of course, Jaguars All Access started Monday night.
CBS 47, 7 o'clock.
I do a one-minute commentary.
And Vic's good. Got the one-minute commentary, and it's very Andy Rooney-esque. It was very nice.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
It was very nice. Mm-hmm. I didn't know you'd become such a big TV star now.
I used to do a thing called Inside a Minute.
Yep, on the Coggin pregame show.
Yeah, and... I mean, it's easy stuff. All I do is I answer an Ask Vic question, and you know, I just read the teleprompter.
You got a golf tournament coming up this week. I mean, you're taking
Friday's,
this
Friday's what it's all about.
You're beating this Ask Vic thing. I mean, you're getting Friday's as much as you can.
You got a golf tournament Friday.
It's the annual Ask Vic golf tournament in Osprey Cove. There will be no column Friday. It is always a sold out event. We use every cart they have. One year we had so many golfers. They didn't shut us off in time. They had to bring in carts from the outside. That's a great group of guys. They arrive early, begin redeeming their beverage coupons shortly after that. We have a rule, though. Oh, yeah. We have a rule. The cart girls are not to redeem any beverage coupons for beer, alcohol, before 8:05 a.m.
Yeah. You're holding hard and fast with that rule.
So 8:06, you're good.
We have some high standards. 8:06, go get them.
So in other words, if you want one,
my goal is to be drunk early.
8:05 is to bring your own Bloody Marys,
and we encourage cheating.
So you win your own tournament every year.
So if you're in the sand and you don't think it's a bunker, go ahead.
Don't ground.
Don't
your
worry.
Club.
No, go ahead. Ground.
Go ahead and ground.
Yeah,
okay.
If you want to use your hand? Go ahead. The main thing is drink.
How about foot wedge?
That, too. Just make sure you redeem all of your beverage coupons so when we finally get to the banquet facility for the Ask Vic Live.
You'll feel you want everybody to think you're great.
Right.
And the debauchery will be taking place where?
Osprey Cove. It's the permanent home of the Ask Vic Golf Tournament.
Permanent home.
It is a really cool thing. And I didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, I had to completely get out of it because if we didn't, if we took the money here, we'd have to give the player 60% off the top, which would have left us to play 100% of the bills with 40% of the gross. That don't work. That's
really?
A bad formula.
Yeah. Have you said that to any owners you know?
I mean, that's what the new CBA did. So we just said, no, pay the golf course. All I do is show up and I play for free. It's great.
Not a bad deal.
I don't have to work that
day. And coupons.
Yeah, and I get the beverage you know, tickets and.
Do you ever pay for golf?
8:06. I'm having my first beer.
How much do you pay for golf in this area?
Oh, I pay for my golf, kiddo. Yeah.
I thought you had worked a couple of different deals around the way that you didn't pay. I remember hearing Vic don't pay.
Well, no.
Those were the good old days.
You're embarrassing.
No, I'm not.
I don't.
Pay.
If you could see the smile on his face right now, folks.
I had, in Pittsburgh, I had it worked out so that I literally, there wasn't a pro shop I could walk into that they just didn't give me the keys to the cart.
Pretty good deal.
355 NFL1, folks, line up.
None of that is true, except the beverage coupons.
Yeah, everything you just heard may be false, or it may be real. Leo joins us from the beach as our first caller of the evening. Leo, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Brian?
Yeah, how you doing, huh?
I'm doing okay. I just got a couple questions. My first question is about Mike Walker. Can you tell me how's his injury doing as far as him playing this week?
Right?
Yeah, Leo, he was back at practice last night, it surprised me.
Yeah.
But I give him credit.
Hey, he had to be helped on with his jacket in the locker room after the Eagles game. And I saw someone helping him on with his coat, and I saw Mike. Oh, I mean, he looked, you know, like a guy who had a separated shoulder. I said to myself, well, there goes number one. I mean, I figured he was gone for a while. Uh-uh, back.
You've had a lot of shoulder injuries.
What's that, Leo?
Is he going to play this week?
I don't know, but, I mean, if he's back out of practice last night in full pads, then it was a pretty demanding practice. He was at practice today?
Yes, although I didn't see – he might have been limited.
Okay.
I'm not saying he was, but I don't remember him as being prominent.
We have not gotten word, and one thing about preseason games is they ain't got to tell you.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of shoulder injuries.
Yeah, I don't know what his was, though. I mean, was it a shoulder? Was it a rib? Was it...
His arm was in a sling in the sideline.
No, I know, but I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, but there's a lot of things that could make you wear a sling.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the shoulder joint. It could be a
neck
separation.
Burner.
It could be a bruise. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things.
He's back.
Don't know.
I mean, it's one of the best things about this team is their wide receiver core. I mean, I hate to, you know, pronounce things fixed, but, you know, going into after the 2008 season, their wide receiver core was a stinking mess. They let Reggie Williams go. They cut Matt Jones. I mean, they started throwing bodies out of here. And then they went in there and picked, and not in the first round, they picked Mike Thomas in the fourth and Jarrett Dillard in the fifth.
Yes.
And then Tyquan Underwood in the seventh, and they stirred in Zach Miller as a tight end slash H-back slash wide receiver. The position, as far as I'm concerned, looks fixed. I don't see any Jerry Rice type players, but for all intents and purposes, they have fixed the position long term.
What's Mike Walker's upside to you right now?
His upside?
Yeah, I mean, can he become that number one, do you think, or is he...
Yeah, how do I put this? I really believe that a true number one is a guy that's...
Star.
Star, elite speed, can catch it and go.
I agree with you. I agree.
I don't see Mike as being that type of player. I see Mike as being a really good number two. And that's not meant to be a shot at Mike or, you know...
Here's what Jeff is saying. Jeff is saying that every team doesn't have to have a number one. To be a number one, you've got to be a star player. And this team does not have a star receiver. They've got Mike Sims-Walker, looks like a two, and Mike Thomas is trying to be a two, and maybe some other guys are trying to be a two. You would like one of these guys to become a true star, or maybe you're going to have to draft that star. But they've got a whole lot of twos and threes. I'm not even sure they had that before.
Right.
Yeah, look at the look. I'm just kind of looking up at the chart up there with all the different teams. You know, Buffalo really doesn't have a one.
No. Lee Evans is a one.
Randy Moss, Brandon Marshall, clearly number one in Miami.
Right.
Do the Jets have a number one?
San Antonio Holmes. Well, he's a one. When San Antonio Holmes wants to play, he's
okay.
A one. Larry Fitzgerald is a one.
Yeah, Larry's, and then Reggie Wayne's a one.
Right.
Cleveland doesn't have a one.
Nope.
Pittsburgh doesn't have a one anymore, if you claim that San Antonio Holmes is a one.
They don't have a one.
Cincinnati's got maybe two.
Yep.
Tennessee does not have a one.
Kenny Britt is supposed to be a one.
Yeah,
but
he's not.
He's not even close. You're right, no.
Denver doesn't have a number one anymore.
Does Baltimore have a one with Anquan Boldin?
He's probably a really good two.
See, now your standards are high.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want my number one. And see, my definition is, Vic's probably right. My definition of a number one is very high.
Marvin Harrison.
And then he's got to be a guy that really can he can go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and that's
I agree
okay.
with you. I agree with you.
If you've got two guys that are two good twos, that's okay.
If
one's a possession guy and one's got great speed.
We've turned X into number one and Z into number two. And really, one and two should be about your performance. X and Z should be the positions you play. Mike is an X. And Mike Sims-Walker is an X and Mike Thomas is a Z. But as far as one and two, we'll find that out later when they start catching some balls.
I mean, I think Mike can catch a ton of balls. Don't get me wrong.
Sims-Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think of number ones as, you know, a Chad Johnson, a Randy Moss, a Reggie Wayne, you know, a guy that can go deep. Or when he catches it, can make a bunch of guys miss and score. And I think Mike can make a lot of plays, but
remains to be seen.
We'll see.
Michael Crabtree is supposed to be a one. You know?
Who's the, in your mind, before we take a break, who is the one in this league right now?
Good question.
The best?
The best.
Well, Larry.
Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. Larry and the guy in Houston, Andre Johnson.
I agree.
They're the two best.
Yeah.
And everybody else is...
just louder and more flashy.
Yeah, they can claim to be, but they're not. I mean, Randy Moss is still the greatest deep threat in the league.
Was Hines Ward ever a one?
No. Not according to my definition.
I agree with you.
You know, like I said, my definition's, you know, a little different.
But he was the damnedest two you
ever. He was a great two. He still is a good two.
All right, you can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. We'll return. More Jaguars this week, right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Hey, I just got a tweet. By the way, if you want to communicate with this program via Twitter, it's at JagsVoice. I'll get it and forward it on to these two guys. It's from someone named M, and he says, tell Vic we just got his call.
Oh, tomorrow night is the fan forum with Wayne Weaver, as I have done, as I have moderated with Gene Smith and Jack Del Rio, the same things.
Gotcha.
So tomorrow night, the season ticket holders will get a ringy-ding-ding, inviting them to a conference call in which they can participate with Wayne Weaver. They can ask him questions and they can listen over the phone to his answers. It's season ticket owner only, right, Joe?
So obviously M's a season ticket holder.
Will we be using the Tebow fan survey question again?
If you'd like.
It's kind of impressed there, Vic. You know,
I think Wayne would really appreciate that.
Joe, you're hip, and you're with modern days. Yeah.
Oh, you're...
When he's not wearing
Vic, that Vic Miller using the term the a ringy-ding-ding.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin.
That's Frank Sinatra.
No. It's Lily Tomlin. Remember when she
Frank Sinatra's earlier than that.
That's one ringy ding ding.
Yeah.
Remember the
one
the
ringy
show?
Dingy.
Ringy dingy. No, ringy it was ding. Ringy ding ding.
No, one ringy dingy. Ringy ding ding.
See?
Was Frank
See,
Sinatra.
You used a hip term.
It's Frank Sinatra.
A ringy ding ding is a modern day term. That's hip. Vic's hip.
I knew Vic was hip. God, he's got his own mug, there. Which he still won't give me.
It's unbelievable that you would actually wear that shirt anywhere, let alone to work.
This is a Jaguar. I'm a company man.
That's you do this on purpose, don't you? You collect the worst shirts God ever made.
You've seen the Philly shirt, right, from the 70s?
Hang on. What do you think of this shirt? Brian?
I wouldn't wear it.
I like it. Looks good on you.
It's an oil rag.
I have that shirt
tied to the handle of my lawnmower. I do.
Oh, no. Hey, Scott
checking oil.
Our engineer, what do you think of this shirt?
Industrial spills.
He likes it.
Yeah, well, he's wearing a shirt vaguely similar to it with drawings all over it as well.
Yeah, it's a good one, too, yeah. Do you remember the...
Vic Ketchman doing commentary on fashion?
Well, that's scary.
No, he does this on purpose. He's got a Jaguar shirt that's a bowling shirt, you know? It's a cross between something a barber would wear or you would wear to the bowling alley.
you want to critique fashion?
Yeah.
How about Vic Thursday night? I believe it was Thursday night. Yeah, Thursday night in Philly, showing up in a suite. Okay, in shorts and his dress shirt.
Well, Jeff, we had to wear a coat and we had to wear
so shorts and long sleeve dress
shirt and coat on the plane. And when I got there, I was going out to dinner with my son, and it was warm, so I put on shorts with my. Why break out a new shirt?
You are a tourist. You really are. Did you have sandals and socks on?
No.
White socks.
What did I wear? I'll wear a pair of tennis shoes and little footsies.
Individual toes? Oh, no, that's Brian.
That's Brian.
Yeah, that's me. Comfortable
Your socks
shoes.
Have individual toes in it?
A pair of running shoes I have.
His shoes have individual toes. That's how cool he is.
All right, we're going to go back to the Jaguar.
I should, real
soon?
Quick. Yeah, real quick. I didn't get the ringy-ding-ding thing. How's that modern?
It's just kind of hip. It is.
Oh,
okay.
I didn't know it was coming back.
Do I have to go to the Urban Dictionary and look it up?
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
It's like a pop song, right?
Yeah, if it's a Sinatra thing, then that makes sense, because I've obviously
Scott
heard it then from
hip
the CD.
I remember stupid things. I remember that in some modern
I've
song.
I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie.
We're recording, right?
No.
Here we go.
We'll string them all together.
No. Ah, Joe.
You asked for it.
Shh.
Turn his microphone off.
This is not how I did it.
I think it's beautiful.
You had this ready to go.
This is beautiful.
The very thought of you.
No, you know what you did was you took
indigo.
See, you just spliced all this crap together.
What he's telling you is don't mess with him.
because he can make you sound really stupid.
Isn't that soothing? You know what? You know what your nickname should be? Calgon.
Take me away.
I know what Calgon is.
Oh, wow.
You've heard of the Velvet Fog?
That's you, baby.
I'm the Velvet Smog.
Who is the Velvet Fog?
Mel Torme.
There you go.
It's the Joe Fortunato Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Spinning your favorite hits.
Done.
Including Mel Torme. 355-NFL-1. We will get back on message here and talk a little bit about the Jaguars. We've got about 3 minutes left before we break for news at the top of the hour. Then we'll just keep rolling right along.
All right, let's answer.
I had a question, but I'm going to wait till after the hour.
Let's answer the big question.
Okay.
All right. They broke camp today. The question is, so what are they taking with them? Well, in other words, what do we each think this team can become, can produce in 2010? It's a fair question. I mean, we're still in the preseason. We're still in that prediction mode.
Are we assuming that Alualu is going to play?
Oh,
Alualu,
yeah,
sorry.
Absolutely. Okay. He's going to play at some point.
Right.
I don't know how long he'll stay on the field. I mean, because he's had a couple injuries, but he's going to play.
Correct pronunciation. Alualu.
Alualu. I've been told it's Alualu.
Yeah, I saw A-L-O-O. I thought it was Alualu, but it's Alualu.
Okay. We got to.
We're not going to be the first or the last people.
Can we just call him Tyson?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's just do that.
No,
I don't like that because I don't like calling these guys by their, you know, I don't like the Tiger, the Michael references, you know, I mean, but it, for the sake of brevity, yeah, okay, he's going to play.
And Zach Miller too? We're going to assume that these guys who were questionable right now?
I don't know about that one's bothering me.
That's what you come out of camp with.
Yeah.
This conversation right here.
You don't know where to put your finger on.
What
do
you
assume? Those guys play.
Right?
You're right.
They are what
that's what you come out of camp with. A lot of unknowns and injuries right now to where it's difficult to kind of get your finger on what they actually are
okay,
coming out.
Let's do this. They open with Denver. They've got to go to San Diego. Then they come home, Philadelphia, and Indianapolis. All right. I'm not going there. What do you think they finish?
Well,
first month of the season. What do you
see
think?
Them again at least one more time. We can do this in 2 weeks, you know, after
you're breaking camp. I mean, this is the time to do that.
No. Camp is broken, but it's not.
Well, then let me – don't answer it, but here's our question for hour number two.
Well, pose it to the callers or to the listeners.
All right. What do you think? 355-NFL-1 at Jags Voice for Twitter, 355-6351.
Let's see what the consensus of opinion is.
All right. And when we come back, I've got a question for the guys. News is next on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Bueller Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robeson Jewelry up in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow down in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry across the river in beautiful Orange Park, Florida. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Also, tweet at Jags Voice. We'll get it on to the guys. Couple quick thoughts. Scott 1 wants to know any word on Zach Miller. How about John Estes that went down today in practice, the young center? From Hawaii.
Well, Zach Miller's going to see a doctor.
Yeah, we've said that one.
Estes, don't know.
I don't know. I saw he left in a cart, right?
Yes.
That's all I can tell you. That's not good.
No, that's not good. And people are like going, who's John Estes? A free agent that they got from Hawaii.
Center.
Who has looked pretty doggone good.
You likened him to a former guy that you used to watch.
I just, you know, how I described him is he kind of reminds me of a modern-day Jeff Bostic. And I'm not trying to say that he's of that caliber of a player, but, you know, Jeff Bostic was the type of player. He was undersized, he was smart, and he was scrappy. And that's exactly how I would describe Estes. I mean, he's 6'2", 302 pounds, and when you look at him, if you saw him in street clothes, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Vic, but you look at the guy and go, he's not a football player.
Here's some good news. Just tipped me. I saw him walking in the hallway about an hour ago.
That is good.
Just remembered, I was going down to the cafeteria for some ice cubes. And I saw him walking out, and he was limping. But it looked like it was. It appeared as though it was more soreness than anything else.
He's a nice find. I'm just
practice squad.
Remember
guy.
That, folks. No, I would maybe not.
Really?
No, maybe not. I mean, this guy's turning some heads now. Let me ask you this: how many times in the last couple days have you seen Uche take snaps at center?
No, he's playing at right guard now, Jeff. I know that.
But don't you typically have him take snaps at center?
Yes, you do.
Who's taking the number twos?
Estes. Yes. Meester appears to have won the center job, and Wanniri appears to have won the right guard job, and it appears that Vince is in trouble.
So who's going to be the starting left guard then? Is it Forney?
I'm guessing it's Forney. It's between Forney and Smiley.
I saw Smiley with three ice bags on different body parts last night.
Shoulders.
Shoulder, elbow, and what was the other one? Shoulder, elbow, and I thought calf.
What's with the calves?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Read Dolphin Digest. You know, you'll get it in your packet from Harvey and the folks down in South Florida. And it is analyzing their guard position, and it says, gone is the very talented yet often injured Justin Smiley.
We had a guy, Vic, that I played with in New York, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody. His name was Teddy Banks. Mm-hmm. Teddy was a pretty good football player, and Teddy got a nickname from the guys in the locker room. They called him Christmas Tree. You know, like Christmas time, you get the fresh cut tree and it looks beautiful and you're adding water to it. You know, as time goes on, you get closer to the day. You forget about adding water to it. And then you start to see the needles turn kind of brown and they start to fall off. Teddy was a guy that everybody should joke around. He said you had body parts falling off of him all over the place because he was hurt all the time. He played, but he was hurt. Mm-hmm. And I just watching Smiley with the ice bags on, all these different body parts kind of reminded me of him when I was watching him last night.
Yeah, I think Forney's going to win that job, and I fear that Vince is in trouble. I kind of sensed that coming out of OTAs. Really have enjoyed covering him. He's a really good guy.
You're talking about him in past tense,
yeah,
Vic.
I don't like that. I don't think he's going to make it.
Based on what you saw.
And how are you going to keep a guy making $3.5 million and he's deep on your bench, Jeff?
I don't know if he's necessarily on the bench.
Okay. I hope you're right. I hope he wins the starting job.
Uche has locked the right guard spot.
Yeah. So where's Vince going to play? Because he's going to move to right guard.
Where has he played at his entire career?
Left guard.
Where has he been at in camp?
He's been with Uche at right guard.
Not anymore. Last night he was
alone. Well, because the right guard job has been secured.
Been won, yes.
Well, now he's in a battle with three guys, and
that's
one
fine.
Of them for and you traded for one of them.
We'll see.
He's got that big salary. I mean, if he would walk down the hallway and say, "I'll play for minimum," hey, everything changes.
We'll see.
Okay.
Let's grab a phone call. 355-NFL-1. Trevor joins us from north of the border, up in Montreal. Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm calling to give my prediction / guarantee for the year.
Good.
10-6.
That's very optimistic. Why do you say 10-6?
Well, I don't. The defense can't be any worse than last year.
I don't know about that.
You know, they've added depth. Terrence Knighton, I think, I really think he helps a lot. I think he's going to be better this year. Aaron Kampman, I think he's going to be good. But the real reason I think they're going to improve is Britton and Monroe at tackle. Mm-hmm. I really think it's going to help the offense. I really think they have two great playmakers on special teams. The depth at wide receiver, I think, is big time underrated. And what can I say?
Well, let me say this.
See, I'm with Trevor, Vic. I think the defense is going to be okay, but I will add this, what do you call it?
Caveat.
Footnote?
Caveat.
Asterisk.
Disclaimer.
Whenever you use that term, asterisk. Mm-hmm. I would say they don't have a lot of room for error or injury.
That's right.
I think they're going to be okay, but they don't have a lot of room for that.
Well, let me say this. I believe that if David Garrard was to have a big year, to really play well, I think their offense could be real good, real good. They've got a feature running back. They've got feature bookend tackles. They got a wide receiver core that is clearly in ascent. They've got a young running back who looks like he might be Lenny Moore or Ronnie Harmon, Rashad Jennings meeting a pass catcher out of the backfield, and that's big time in today's game. And if Zach Miller, they got a tight end, Mercedes Lewis, who looks like he's ready to become one of the elite tight ends in the league.
Right now he's probably the best all-around tight end in the league.
Okay, that's really great.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, I know he's a dominant blocker.
If you weight catching and receiving equal, his blocking is outstanding. He led the league in tight ends, per yards reception last year?
It was over 16 yards per reception.
16.1 or something like that. So,
now, the Zach Miller injury situation is big, 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 and here's why.
Because he's a good player.
Not only because he's a good player and a playmaker and a touchdown maker and a big play guy, but, you know, I haven't seen much at all of the fullback position in this training camp. And it's almost as though it's being phased out. And that's another issue, because let's not forget that Greg Jones has a big salary number two, T-O-O, for a position that doesn't appear to be getting much in the way of emphasis at all.
All right, let's get Trevor's guarantee. I'm curious. Trevor,
yeah.
Your guarantee.
Yeah.
What is it?
My guarantee is 10-6.
Okay.
They get the second spot in the wild card. And I got to be honest, it changed by about two games over the last couple months. Because, like, as I look at the schedule, you know, about 3 months ago, I had a whole bunch of losses kind of, like, just penciled in. But, you know, like, I look at San Diego and I see, you know, I see they can win that game. I feel they can beat Indy at least once this year. There's a lot of games that I really think they can win. I see a lot of problems with a lot of the other teams. So, you know, my optimism went up over the last couple of months.
Well, 10-6 in a playoff berth would be wonderful, because that would probably mean that they had a good start. And if they have a good start, that'll probably mean that they won't black out any of the four home games in the second half of the season. It looks like the first four home games, Denver, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, and Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay. It looks like they're going to be okay. It looks like they're going to sell enough tickets. It looks like they're going to sell those tickets and avoid a blackout. It's those next four games in the second half, Cleveland, Oakland, Washington,
Kansas City.
Boy, those look real, real shaky.
Kansas City's a road game.
At Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's
okay.
A road game.
Okay, Houston. So it would be not in order. Cleveland, Houston, Oakland, and
Houston, Cleveland, Oakland, and Washington.
Washington. Those four games look real shaky. If they were to start slow, then you might, you know, there might be a problem with those games being blacked out. And then I got to tell you, that's still the thing for me. You know, blackouts are bad for perception. And if something was to happen where this team got off to a real slow start, you know, the blackout parade could start. And if that blackout parade starts, all bets are off.
355-NFL-1. Appreciate the phone call, Trevor. We're going to take a break. Return with more Jaguars this week in a moment on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Before we talk about predictions and record and all of that stuff, since the Jaguars broke camp today, answer this.
Okay.
Could you cut the roster today?
Yeah.
You can get it to the final 53 today.
Yeah. How about you?
How close could you?
No. No, I got to see some more game action. I mean,
what are your decisions to be made?
Safety, numbers. You know, numbers at positions. I mean, I got a pretty good idea along the defensive front. I've got a pretty good idea along the offensive line.
Give me your
with
defensive
the exception
front
of a couple two. How many do I get to keep?
Eight.
How'd I get eight?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's my eight. Campman, Alualu, Knighton, Derek Harvey. The next one, Larry Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Doozable.
Okay.
And Walter Curry.
That one surprises me.
Had a pretty good night in Philly.
Okay.
And he's good for the locker room.
Not a T. Ellison. Over, is that who it's between, Curry and Ellison, or do you have someone else?
No, I think it's between Doozable and Ellison.
Then I think you're only going to get seven.
Why?
Well, I think.
No. Yeah, they're not going to have seven. They're going to have eight.
I don't know that you've got eight guys that are worthy of the roster.
Walter Curry's not a bad player now, Vic.
What did you say he was good for the locker?
Back up and see if in the Canadian.
The players love him. He's got a personality. He's
got a chip the size of a boulder on his shoulder.
And you know what? He carries that with him on the practice field, and he carries that with his teammates.
He's a great guy.
He gets the defense going. You know, and he's a good player now. I mean, don't think that he's not. He's a big, strong guy. And playing nose tackle, that's what you need, a big, strong guy.
Well, he's another Doozable. I mean, he's a guy that's bounced around a little bit.
How many running backs are you going to keep? I'm telling you, it's tough finding 53 guys. It's just not that easy.
Well, Montel, Maurice, Rashad, Deji, and there's a question mark about Greg.
You know, or
Brock Bolin. I think it's kind of one or the other. And
where do you think that fullback position's going?
I think to the tight ends.
You betcha. I think it's going bye bye.
But the question is, Vic, the status of Zach Miller. If Zach is healthy and is playing, there's no question that tight end position becomes featured with Ernest and Zach.
What's the injury?
Some type of a foot. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Can you work a foot injury through the course of a year, have them in the boot?
Foot injuries, from a percentage standpoint, foot injuries have ended more careers from a percentage standpoint than maybe any other.
Well, there's two majors, right? One is plantar fasciitis.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Right, but the two that we see the most.
You got Liz Frank.
And plantar are the two that we hear the most about.
And the Liz Frank is very rare. Plantar fasciitis is not that rare. But turf toes, I mean, all those turf toes have probably ended more careers than anything.
No question. If he's got a Liz Frank, he's not coming back.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he has, but I can tell you from a percentage standpoint, foot injuries have probably ended more careers than anything. Just because, I mean, you use your feet all the time, right? It's kind of hard to get up. I mean, look at the foot. And
it's a whole bunch of pieces.
It is a bunch of pieces.
It's a bunch of nuts and bolts in a can. I mean,
what is it? 26 muscles and 236 bones? Something like that.
I mean, well, in a human skeleton.
No, in the foot.
I don't know if there's 20, that many in the foot.
I think there's 26 muscles.
It's a whole bunch of little bones, I can tell you that.
But there's a bunch of little pieces.
There's a bunch of bones in the foot. And, if you know, I don't know.
Boy, I mean, this guy is big in cutting the roster. He's big.
So that's kind of when you say, could you cut the roster now? No, because you don't know about Zach.
All right.
You still got to have analysis at the guard spot.
All right. I got a big question for you.
I want to see the wide receiver. Wide receiver still got to have game reps.
Forget about them for a minute. Let's say that Zach Miller can't come back. Let's say that he's got to go on injured reserve. Now, you lack those Angulo type of tight ends.
No, you don't.
You don't have those power blocking tight ends.
Zach Potter and Mercedes can.
Well, Mercedes for sure, but
Zach Potter.
You don't have a lot of traditional tight end types.
Zach Potter is an Angulo type, big, powerful blocking tight end. Now, ain't much of a receiver, but he can block.
I'll tell you what, Jeff. If they were to lose a Miller, they lose a lot of their game planning ability.
Sure. I mean, he's a dynamite player that could turn out to be a heck of a player. Dallas Clark? You know, I mean, he's that type of player.
Ready for the numbers here? 26 bones. 33 joints, and 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments.
Hey. Wow.
So it's a very complicated place.
Next time you play footsie with your wife, Joe, think about that.
No, I'll just play footsie with my wife. I won't think about that at all.
Unfortunately, you won't. You know, hopefully you won't be wearing that shirt.
Can't get away from that. How about wide receiver? Can you cut that right now?
No.
It's just a matter of, like Jeff said, how many. I can put it in order. I can give you the pecking order.
Well, does Kasim Osgood make it six? Or
Kasim Osgood is in a completely another category. He's on the team, special teams, and it's wide receiver plus
one. But you got to get that designated special teams guy from somewhere.
Well, yeah, okay.
So what position group?
Wide receiver, he's a plus one. He's a plus one. He's a bonus player.
Okay, so not counting him, how many do you carry?
Probably five.
Besides his salary, does Kasim Osgood taking a roster spot impact Greg Jones at all?
No, I think that
because
Zach
Montel
Miller,
Owens makes the team as your special teams guy.
Listen, if Zach Miller can't go, then you've got to have a fullback because you've got to have an extra blocker.
Right.
If Zach Miller can go, then I don't know what you're going to do about that fullback position because you're not going to use it.
Well,
much.
That's what I'm saying is if you can only have one guy that's a true special teams guy, and it's Kasim Osgood, you keep Montel Owens for special teams as a fullback. Does that impact Greg Jones?
And see, here's another question.
You know where I'm going with that.
Yes, absolutely.
If Zach comes back, you know he's okay. Do you trust it?
No, you don't, because he's been injured. He's had a knee. He's had a series of injuries. He's not had a healthy and any extended period of health.
So
no, you're
do
right.
Do you keep the fullback because you don't trust it? I mean, so those are some of the
and
things you
don't know.
And
that impacts the
know.
Wide receiver number.
You're talking about a general manager, by the way, who cut $35 million from this roster last year. I mean, this is a guy with an acumen for getting the most out of his roster and not padding it salary-wise. For the obvious reason, this is a team
small
that
market.
Cannot afford to throw money away.
355 NFL 1.
Should I remind you? Paschos, Brian Williams.
Oh,
I mean,
no, there's no doubt. And when you start talking about some of the names, you can start to make a case for that.
Right.
Which is why the Vinny Manawai thing comes right to the
Manawai forefront. And Greg Jones are in that same category, potentially, as Paschos and Brian Williams were in.
So is it, I mean, Clarence Denmark is now gone, right? They cut him to bring in, no, they cut in Townsell.
Yeah, Townsell.
They cut Townsell.
Yeah.
Right, the guy that they brought in last week to bring in the other.
I can't imagine that Clarence
Walker
is a lovely person, but I can't imagine that he's going to make this roster.
So you're looking at Williamson, Walker, Dillard, Thomas, Underwood, and then Osgood.
Yeah.
So you've got six.
Yeah.
Which definitely impacts.
I think that's your wide receiver core.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Okay. If you get six.
How many safeties you keep?
Three.
I agree. And Brackenridge is your swing man. Yeah.
That's going to bring some interesting conversations over the next couple of weeks, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye
on
it.
And that has nothing to do with salary there because he's got a minimum. Reggie Nelson has a minimum type salary.
Anyone else from a salary perspective besides Greg Jones and Vinny Manawai that bears mentioning?
Well, Meester was a guy in that position, but he's acquitted himself well in this training camp. He's not any kind of problem. He's been pronounced a starter for opening day.
Right. As he should be, because he's had a fantastic camp, and for a guy that's long in tooth, he's been out there virtually every day.
All right, folks, the Jaguars have released the 2010 half-packs, half-season tickets, which offer five games from just $50 per game. The teal pack features the September 12th game against the Broncos, and of course, that one will be sold out. The gold pack has the September 26th game against the Eagles and the three AFC South division rivalries. Call the Jaguars ticket office at 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com to get your half pack today. You have a thought to get in?
Yeah, Luke McCown's performance in Philadelphia, because it was so good, has going to help somebody make this roster. Otherwise might not have made it because they might have had to go for three quarterbacks.
All right, well then let's talk about that when we return to Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV News. Is next.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Phone lines are stacked. Let's get right to it. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. We'll start with Bill on the south side to begin this final half hour. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I was wondering, the year that the Jaguars went 14-2,
99.
What did y'all think? How many games did you think we were going to win before the season started?
A lot.
Did anybody make any predictions that year?
I don't know if anyone made any predictions, but I know that the expectations were through the roof. They were being picked by Sports Illustrated. They were being picked by just about everybody to be in the Super Bowl.
I didn't predict that they would be 14-2. Otherwise, I would have came back.
Remember too that they were right up there with the Jets, and then Vinny Testaverde, was it his knee or his Achilles on opening day?
It was, I believe, his Achilles, and then of course Terrell Davis blew his knee.
Yep. So
it was supposed to be Denver was the defending Super Bowl champion, and they quickly lost Terrell Davis, and the Jets had played Denver for the AFC title the year before, right. And they quickly lost Testaverde, and the Jaguars vaulted to the top. But the Jaguars were already being touted nationally as the AFC favorite.
So no one was picking them to win 14 games because, remember, that year they played the Broncos and they played the Jets. Sometimes that's what happens.
But nobody was picking them to win fewer than 12.
Yeah, they were at 11-12.
So, Bill, why do you ask?
Oh, I was just wondering, because, we have a tendency to do that in recent years, and then we get disappointed if we don't, and then or thrilled if we do beat somebody. Sometimes you can beat them by a field goal, and you got a win there that you didn't think you'd have. Now, I think we're going to do well this year. Hey, can I bring some other things up?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Listen. You talked about Mel Torme before, and you never. This guy. He was known for his ballads and syrupy songs and that, and he had a real, he was known for his falsetto at the end of his songs, real pretty, always, dressed. I mean, you go, uh-oh, what about this guy, But, he had, Jeff, he had one of the finest gun collections you ever laid your eyes on.
Hmm.
I'm talking Colts and Winchesters and
all
that.
I knew I liked him.
Unreal.
Mm-hmm. So you're a little out of my ear there, Bill. You want to talk about Van Halen and... Leonard Skinner. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate the phone call. Move right along. Yeah, I wonder where that one was going. 355-NFL-1. Chip is on line one from the south side. Chip, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Jeff, don't get me started on Van Halen. You and me could go for about an hour on that on the
buddy.
Phone. But anyway, my question really is...
With or without?
Both.
Roth or Hagel?
Both.
With Roth, of course.
All right. Just checking. Now Vic is lost.
He had a great gun collection.
My question is, and I know there seems to be a lot of Garrard bashing has been going on for quite some time.
Oh.
I'm not a big fan of him. I'll admit that. But I'm also understanding that it takes a talent and a group around him to do the right things. However, my question really is sort of more on an intelligent level about what I'm going to ask you guys and get your take on it. I'm going to have to get off the air after this. And just hear what each one of you have to say. But since Leftwich, we haven't actually really even drafted a quarterback, even as a bench position, to learn, to groom, to grow, to become the next guy.
That's correct.
And now, for me, given the age of Garrard, given the opportunities he's had to be unbelievable one season and an absolute disaster the next, and Gene Smith obviously drafting now, being general manager in charge of all this, which I've been extremely impressed by, is the question of the people that are the best on the board to take at the time. What do each one of you think and consider the team is thinking about that choice? Because they do have to make it, and they will have to make it soon, albeit last season's crop wasn't the greatest, Clausen and those guys.
Hey, Chip. Chip,
yes, sir.
Just two things. I don't believe that he had a disastrous season last year in David. Certainly a step down from what he had before that. But as far as when do they address that position? Next year.
I've already said that if they don't draft a quarterback next spring, I will swim to St. John's at its widest point.
It's about 3 miles.
Which is, I know. I mean, which means I'll die. So what I'm saying
calling
is,
all bull sharks.
If they don't draft a quarterback next year, I will kill myself. And you'll be able to watch, folks. Just go to Buckman.
Let me know, and I'll chill in the water for
you. Exactly. You could row along and watch me die. I guarantee you they're going to draft a quarterback next year.
You have little to worry about because you don't think they're going to draft just one, do you?
I think they're going to draft a couple quarterbacks next year. I think that was one of the reasons they got that extra fourth-round pick. That might be the second quarterback. Their next year's class is absolutely jammed. I mean, there could be as many as 19, 20 you know, draft caliber quarterbacks in next year's class. And they're saying that going into the year, there's like a dozen that are potential first, second round picks.
355 NFL 1. We've got some Twitter questions for you. Let's start with this one from Dave, who wants to know No Kokue, a guy that both of you have spoken about on this program, the youngster from South Dakota.
Wants to know how he's doing?
Yeah.
Practice squad guy.
Okay.
Yeah, practice squad guy.
See him the same way?
I saw him as more than that early in camp, but now he's, you can tell he's leveling.
Okay.
He's a practice squad guy.
I watched him closely today at practice, and you could see that he's leveling.
How about back to the offensive line? Smiley, Forney, Manawai. Who starts? Who's backup? Who get cut from those three players? I mean, just name the starter and the backup.
I think Forney will be the starting left guard, and Smiley will be his backup.
Stay tuned.
Not
Jeff,
ready to write
Jeff
that one
disagrees,
off.
Jeff disagrees, and man, I hope Jeff is right. I mean, Vince is just a great guy, but I'm looking at that salary, and I'm thinking.
I'm not looking at salary. I'm not considering how good of a guy he is. I just know what he can give you is more than what you may get elsewhere.
Do you think he is further along this year than he was last?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Year I mean, last year he was limping around still a bunch. You know, and looks like he's fighting maybe some back spasms or something. I saw him stretching his back out a lot last night. You know, it's just typical training camp stuff. When they get to one-a-days, you know, veteran guy, you know, maybe he's got some aches and pains. Now let's see what happens.
Okay. Here's one on ticketing. Did you think 6 months ago, speaking of predictions, the Jags would have only 2,500 season tickets left to sell before the start of the season?
Is that what it is? I thought it was 3,000.
I'm not sure.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, that's not including the group sales. So, I mean, you know, we work with these numbers to the point that we're not factual. Is the gas gauge up on that screen?
I don't have it, no.
All right. It depends on what kind of browser you have. Some people don't have the right browser.
I'm using the one here
but
in the studio.
It's been my understanding that group sales takes it to about 8,000, and you have to factor in group sales because the bottom line is even though the Jaguars have accepted responsibility for selling them, if they're not sold, they go to the blackout number. My understanding is that they have about 3,000 tickets in the non-group sales category, and then when you stir in group sales, you get 8,000. Yeah, they had a nice run. They had a real nice run from January to the 1st of June, and then it went into halt mode, and that's the negative. That's the bummer in all of this. June is supposed to be traditionally supposed to be slow, but July was supposed to be, you know, from July on, it's supposed to be real, real sharp, real aggressive sales. And we never got the kickstart back again. So the real bummer is that it's over. Saturday's game ends the season ticket sales drive. There can be no more season ticket sales as of Saturday. From that point on, it's half pack, single game, and group.
And single game tickets go on sale a week from Saturday.
So I mean, as far as I'm concerned, take the gauge off take it down. It's over.
Still a successful offseason to a degree because of what they were able to achieve.
Here's why it's successful, because they sold a lot of new tickets, and that'll go to a database that's going to give them a head start in 2011. What we have to do, because I'm telling you, folks, this is it. We've got to do it this year. Don't think about what next year will be if we don't get these things sold out, if we don't avoid the blackouts this year. I really believe this thing will be in danger if we don't. If there's a bunch of blackouts, we're in trouble.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, let's get these games on TV. Let's get these general bowl seats sold. Let's get them on TV. Now we've got that perception of success going into 2011, and then we start all over again in 2011. You do that a couple years, all of a sudden you've rooted yourself, and it's bye-bye to that L.A. crap.
All right. One final one. And, again, if you want to join us on the Twitter conversation, it's at Jags Voice, and we pass the questions right through to Jeff and Vic. And it comes from Buzzy, who wants to know Charles Mincy.
Jeremy Mincy.
I'm sorry, Jeremy Mincy. A guy that you have said time and again that you like.
No, I like him because he's one of those guys that has positional flexibility. Got a great motor. But, you know, when you got two draft picks at that position, you know, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, now if you keep nine, you know, which is a possibility because the linebacking core is not particularly strong or deep once you get past your starters, as we've seen by the roster changes in the last 2 weeks, you could go nine. But I think if you go eight, I think it'd be tough on Jeremy. Now, that's assuming that Austin Lane stays healthy, shows something in the preseason. That's why I'm going to go back to my thoughts. We need to see more in this preseason for a lot of reasons before we can start really figuring out our roster spots.
By the way, Derek Harvey's salary is guaranteed, so
he's here.
He's here.
All right. Folks, you can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jags game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for all the details. We'll come back with one more segment. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week back to wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Don't forget, kick things off on Saturday afternoon with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. That begins at 4:30 Eastern Time right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. 6:30 for Jaguars pregame, kickoff at 7, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. So what haven't we covered this evening?
Well, you know, let's go back to the ticket situation. They sold a lot of tickets here. Hats off to Tony Baselli, to Mackie Weaver, to the Jaguars ticket department.
Team Teal, the entire Team
Carl
Teal
Cannon,
group.
Mayor John Payton, who's the guy who initiated this whole thing. He kicked it off. Hats off. They sold a lot of tickets. Now, we're close. But you got to get over the top because whether you black out with one ticket left or 10,000 tickets left, a blackout is a blackout. It's a black mark on your record. It's a smudge on your resume. And as the mayor said a week ago, we have to build a case for keeping the team here, which means building a case for somebody to want to buy this team from Wayne Weaver someday and keep it here instead of wanting to buy it
and
move
it to Los Angeles.
So, it you know, for as all the work that's going into this thing, it would be a terrible shame to get real close and not get over the top. So we've got to find a way to get over the top.
So we're going Thursday to Thursday with this now.
We're back to the Thursday things, the Thursday 1 o'clock.
Which means on this program on Wednesdays, we'll be mentioning it.
Right. And I was going to say something else. Oh, still hopeful of this college thing.
How far is that from? I mean, don't they have to get that going quickly?
Explain.
The Jaguars picked up on something the Penguins of the NHL do. It's called they call it their student rush program. And what they do is they put tickets aside to expose their product to a young generation so they don't get shut out of seeing the team during these
years that they're sold out.
They're sold out, yes. The Jaguars took that program, which they like a lot, and tailored it to their own needs. And what they wanted to do was sell season tickets to people with the idea that you can donate the tickets that you don't want to use in your season ticket package to a local college, which will then give those tickets for a nominal fee to their students that want them. And, of course, then you can write off that donation on your taxes, all right, which makes buying a season ticket more attractive because you're not wasting X number of games. And there's mechanics to be worked out in it because as one local college determined anything more than $10 would represent revenue that they would have to declare, you know, on their taxes. And you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Okay, tax liability. That's where I'm going with it. So there are more mechanics to be worked out. But I think they're in the process of doing that. I think it can still happen. If it happens, it could be that bump that gives you the extra $3,000 that you need to get over the hump.
Well, and more importantly, is is building a future fan base.
And you're exposing your product to the perfect element. Kids who are in college are going to have the money, the resources to buy these things someday. So we're still hopeful that they can do that kind of a program.
We'll find out in the next couple of weeks because it's got to start soon. I mean, we're getting down to
they're close to it.
The brass tacks.
All right, so before we get off the air here, your expectations against this Miami Dolphins team Saturday night that brings in a physical brand of football.
I want to see them rush the passer. I got to see evidence of that to think that there's going to be any kind of improvement on defense.
I want to see them stop the run.
I want to see them run the ball.
I'm not worried about that.
Well, I would have been talking about these guards.
You know, just because for the last couple of years, they've never concentrated on it in the preseason. They've always had the belief that we will run the ball, and we don't need the preseason
to practice.
To show that.
Okay.
You know, and
I just know with these two guards
okay
in there
with
now.
That.
You know, with new guards, with Juan Ayres starting
you,
at
you
one,
could, and you get enough. You know, is the percentage there where you want it at for a true game evaluation? No, but you'll get enough.
I don't want to see Maurice. I want to see Jennings.
I don't want to see Maurice at all.
I want to see Jennings. I want to see him with the ball in his hands.
Does Campman play? No, right?
No, I mean, I'd be surprised.
Alou doesn't play. Campman doesn't play.
That's why my expectations rushing the passer, you know, I don't have that against the Miami Dolphins.
Well, here's another reason.
I want to see him stop the run against Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Another reason to run the ball is it runs the clock.
Yeah.
That's never a bad thing in a preseason
game. I'm all for
game.
That.
Let me tell you, so now you do want to see the run.
Let me tell you something else. Something that needs to happen Saturday is David Garrard needs to have
a better night.
He needs to have a good night to keep the Wolves away from the door.
Well, besides the Wolves, he needs it for him. Mm-hmm. He needs it for the confidence that his teammates will have in him.
Jeff, the Wolves are a problem. I mean,
there's always
they
Wolves.
They start chewing
Rick.
At the door.
There's
always
Wolves.
Next thing you know, I mean, it's just they're everywhere. I mean, it got ugly this week. My inbox was
so you
want to
kill the Wolves.
The Wolves are a problem.
Bunch of
they will consume you. They will consume you.
You're against the Wolves. You want to open up hunting season on the Wolves.
Look, this guy makes his salary is $9.5 million.
Yes.
You ain't putting that on the bench. Those kinds of decisions are made very early in the offseason. All right? These people who think that you've got an open competition. No. It doesn't work that way, and it's time that we start thinking with a professional football mentality. When you got one man making $9.5 million, another guy making $1 million, $9.5 million ain't going to the bench. All right, we have to think, folks, as professional football fans think.
But there's always competition.
Do you agree, Jeff?
But there's always competition.
Yes, you want your guy to be pushed to be better, but I think we need to stop being naive to think that $1 million is going to put $9.5 million on a bench.
I'm eager to see how
it's
he plays.
It's happened before. When? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying
what
that.
What did they do to
I
Byron
don't expect
Leftwich?
It to happen.
What did they do with Byron Leftwich? You don't put $9.5 million on
know,
the bench.
I know. I get your point, but I'm just saying there's always competition.
He was pretty good at practice last night.
Who?
David.
Yeah, he had a good practice.
So I'm saying that maybe the Wolves
he's
served
had
their
good practices pretty much throughout.
Yeah.
You know, and McCown has not had such great practices. In fact, some of his practices weren't good at all. We'll see more.
Come on, Joe. We need more time.
The Catchman Show starts at 8:06, folks. Have a great night.